So, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. That's where we're going to be tonight, or this morning. Matthew 14. As we've been talking last week, as you see on the screen, we're talking about miracles of Jesus. And we're going to continue. Last week, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. Remember that the feeding of the 5,000, of the 37 miracles recorded in the New Testament, that is the only one that is shared by all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as the Synoptics, as well as John. The only miracle that is shared in all four of them. And so that's where I wanted to start, because I believe that there's something significant that Jesus wants us to know, that God wants us to know, so He inspired all of them to put it in there. And that's that God wants us to share these miracles. He wants us to receive the miracle of the good news, and He wants us to distribute that. The disciples were the ones that received the bread and received the fish, and they're the ones that took that blessing, took that multiplied loaves, those multiplied fishes. They're the ones who took those to the masses, and He's calling us to be a part of that. So what we want to do is look beyond the obvious when it comes to miracles. Not just that Jesus healed, not just that he fed people, not just that he prophesied of what was going on in people's lives, that he saw past the facade of so many. But what is it that God wants us to learn? Not that He's just the Son of God, because that's exactly what the miracles teach us, that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is who He says He is. It proves that Jesus is God. And our role in distributing the miracles proves who we are. So as we look beyond the obvious, we want to look at Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 27. And as Hyatt has already read this morning, we have the apostles getting into a boat. Now this miracle of Jesus walking on water comes on the heels of, right after, Jesus feeds the 5,000. So this is a miracle that takes place right after he feeds them. It's the next day. And so we see, let's go to John chapter 6. Let's start there. I know we're going to be in Matthew, but we're going to look at John, because Luke doesn't bring this, he does not say anything about this miracle, but John does, and John makes a distinction that the other Gospels really don't make when it's talking about this miracle. So we have the feeding of the 5,000. It's a big deal. All of the people are there. Really, it's kind of the feeding of the 5,000 is sort of a misnomer, because that was just the men and the women and children. A lot of scholars say that it could be as close to 20 to 25,000 people that were there that day. I mean, you want to talk about a big crowd. And they see what's going on. They see Jesus provide for them. And so after the people, this is in verse 14 of John chapter 6, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now, one of the things that we have to understand, before we really get into talking about the events that led up to Jesus walking out on the Sea of Galilee, is that Jesus is not going to let us determine His identity. So He knows that the people are, He knows that they are super excited about this all-you-can-eat fish and chips buffet. He knows that they are super excited about having somebody that can provide for all of their physical needs. And they want to come and make Him what they want Him to be. And Jesus says, no, that's not going to happen. So He withdraws Himself to this mountain. And they also, the people there want to make Him king by force, because they're interested in having a warrior king lead them out of oppression by the Romans. And Jesus is not going to let us determine His role in our lives either. See, they wanted Him to be king. They wanted Him to defeat Rome. But what Jesus wants us to see is that He's not interested in defeating Rome. Jesus isn't interested in defeating the Persians. He's not interested in defeating the Greeks. Jesus isn't interested in defeating communism or ISIS. Jesus is interested in defeating Satan in our lives. And that's exactly what He's trying to prove to them. that it has no bearing on who's oppressing who or who's in power or what government or cabinet or any of that. He's not interested in being an earthly king. Jesus is a spiritual king. And He wants to free us from the oppression of sin. And our earthly circumstances and our, you know, the politics of the world today have no bearing on whether or not He can do that. We have to decide what's more important, to be free from political oppression or to be free from sin, to be free from the grip of social or economic downturns, or to be free from the grip of death because of sin in our life. Jesus is not going to let us determine who He is or what He's trying to do in our life. No matter how impressed we are with one miracle over another, no matter what we say is a God moment, or God's trying to do this or He's going to do that, or no matter what we pray for, God is interested in being who He truly is and getting us on board with that. So here we see, now we'll look over at Matthew chapter 14. Feeds the 5,000. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat. Dismissed the crowd after He dismissed them. Jesus went up on a mountainside by Himself. Very important point to understand. Jesus dismisses the crowd. He understands that they want to make Him king by force. He says, "No, I'm out." He goes up on a mountainside. The apostles get in a boat and they start rowing to where He had told them to go. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, if you read John tells us that they were about 3 to 3.5 miles away at this point. Let me ask you this. How far can you see? How far? I mean, think about this. You're up on a mountain. There's people out on a boat almost 4 miles away from you. How far can you see? You think you can see what's going on in that boat? You think you can see the circumstances of the lives of the people that are straining against the oars on that boat where there's a storm, where there's wind? Do you think you can see almost 4 miles from up on a mountain, obscured by rocks and trees and all of those things? See, one thing that we learned last week that's still applicable this week is that no matter where we think God is, our Father who art in heaven, when we pray that prayer, we think those thoughts and we kind of get the impression that we are here and God's way up there. When in reality is that no matter where we think He is, and no matter what our circumstances are, God is still aware of everything that's going on. He's aware of the wind that's against us. He's aware of the struggles that we have. He's aware of the strain against the oars that we have in our life, no matter where it is. See, we're all in these boats going about our daily life. We're all trying to get somewhere. We're all trying to accomplish something. We're all trying to do exactly what it is that Jesus tells us to do. He says, get in this boat and go over there. So we're doing it. And it's tough. And there's wind and there's outside forces. And we're straining against all of the circumstances, no matter where we think God is. He sees. He's aware. He's not aloof. So what happens then? The Bible tells us that they are in the midst of, or in the middle of the sea. We're going to skip right to, all right, we'll come back to that one. Don't write that one down yet. I'm not there yet. This is a map of the Sea of Galilee. It's difficult for us to really pinpoint where the feeding of the 5,000 took place, but it was probably around in this area here. He tells them he wants to go up to Bethsaida. They're going towards Capernaum. They end up here in the Valley of the Gennesaret. Well, the way that they would go about this, and I'll get over here so that y'all over here can see. The way they would go about this, they would get in the boat and they would, this is about 10 and a half, 11 miles across the Sea of Galilee. It's about 21 miles north to south. So what they would do in these little rowboats is that they would get in right here and they would row close to the shore all the way around that. They would not have gone out into the middle of the sea. That's not what they, you know, they don't remember when Jesus, the miraculous catch of fish, and we're not going to go into that one in detail because we're only going to talk about miracles for 2 more weeks. But the miraculous catch of fish, when he says, go out into deep water, that's not how they fished. They didn't go out into the deep water. This thing is only about 40 feet deep at the very middle. Where's my thing? Oh, I'm blocking it. Oh, this thing is only about 40 feet deep in the middle of that. That's not how they fished. They would fish along the shore and they would herd all the fish up onto the bank, and then they would kind of get them in the shallows and wrap their nets around them. They wouldn't go out in the middle. So these guys wouldn't have a whole lot of experience rowing in deep water. But when Jesus comes to them, he's in the Bible says they're in the midst of or in the middle. So you know what we find out? That sometimes when we're doing the work of Jesus, when we're going where he told us to go, in the boat that he put us in, with the people that are around us, sometimes we get blown way off course. Wrong way. There it is. And God will still arrive wherever we are. Do you ever feel like that sometimes in life when you're really trying to do what God has called you to do? I mean, you're really straining against those oars. You're really working against that wind. You're really, you know, you're trying to get along with those who are in the boat with you. And you just get blown so far off course that there's no way, A, God can see me, or B, He's going to show up where I am. But we know He sees us. And here's Jesus. When he sees, he lets us in on the fact that I'm aware of what's going on and I'm going to come to where you are. You might be so far off course that you're in waters that you were never meant to be in. The vessel you're in isn't built for deep waters like that. There's no sails on this thing. There's nothing but oars. And in this kind of wind and in these kind of waves, I am way out of my league and my comfort zone. And Jesus says, that's exactly where I'm trying to show up. Right in the middle of the storm, right where we think that God, He's so far away, He can't see us. We're so far off course, He can't even, you know, we don't even know what's going on. And then we have this beautiful interaction. This courageous. Verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him, they were afraid. It's a ghost. So we so often when God comes, when he comes to us in the night, when he comes to us in our confusion, when he comes to us in our moments of despair, when we're so off course, when we're so lost, we misunderstand who he is. It's a ghost. He says, no, it's not a ghost. He says, be of courage. It's I. And the language there is I am. He calls that, they would recognize him claiming his godness. I am. And then he gives them this command. And you've heard it, for 11 years I've preached this and I've told you, and I know that we all understand this. What is the most commanded thing in all of Scripture? Amen. Do not be afraid. The most repeated command in all of Scripture isn't thou shalt not this or thou better get busy doing that. It's do not be afraid. Because when we're afraid, all we can think about is the circumstances going on around us. All we can think about is the next moment, the next wave, the next gust of wind. Jesus sums up our relationship with Him in these two phrases. Don't be afraid because I am God. And then we have Peter. Lord, if it's You, not Lord because it's You, Lord, if it's You, tell me to come to You on the water. Command me again. You commanded me to get into this boat and to row and to go to Bethsaida. We're going to go on to Capernaum. We're going on to the Valley of Gennesaret. You commanded me to get into this boat, and now I am where I am. Again, Lord, command me. Peter wanted what we all need, the authority of Jesus over his life and his decisions. Command me. Jesus says, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Again, what is the most commanded thing in all of Scripture? He just got it. Don't be afraid. Not 10 seconds later, he gets out of the boat, breaks that command. Jesus didn't leave him. Jesus didn't turn his back on him. He didn't forsake him. When Peter cried out, Jesus rescued him. He got in the boat. They immediately were where they were supposed to be. And all is well. The question is that there were 12 men in the boat. And only one got out. Only one experienced the sensation. Only one experienced the thrill. Only one experienced the otherworldliness of walking on water alongside of Jesus. The question is, will we get involved? Not only will we, as we were commanded last week, to receive God's grace and to distribute that, to share that, but when everyone else is hunkered down into that boat, will we get involved in the miracle that is our Lord's interaction with us on a daily basis? Let me show you one thing that I believe we all can relate to. Look over in Mark. Matthew, Mark, and John are the only three gospels, the only places you will find this miracle. Mark chapter 6. In verse 52, the account of Mark, it's a little bit different. They see him, they cried out because they all saw him and they were terrified. Verse 50, immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat. Mark leaves out Peter walking on water. He climbs into the boat with them when the wind, and the wind died down. Now, one of the things I want to make a point of is that all of the Gospels that share this miracle, they show whether Peter gets out, whether they have the account of Peter walking on water or not. The wind doesn't die down until Jesus gets in the boat with them. Peter says, if it is You, command me to come out to You. And Jesus does not calm the wind and calm the sea or any of those things before He calls Peter out of the boat to come and to join Him on the sea. One of the things that we have to understand is that at no time does God say, I'm going to make everything just perfectly glass smooth for you before I ask you to trust me. Jesus asked Peter, Jesus commanded Peter, get out of that boat, come to me right here in the middle of the storm. Do you know why? Because that's where Jesus is. He's in the middle of the storm. See, anybody can get out of the boat when the wind's not blowing, when the waves aren't beating against the side, when drowning isn't the next thing that's going to happen. But Jesus says, come to me in the middle of the storm, when the waves are at their highest, when the wind is at its strongest. So we see here in Mark, he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. And here's what I want us all to understand, because we're all either been there or we are there or we're going to be there again. For they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. See, earlier in that day, when they got into that boat, they were confused. They didn't know. They didn't understand about the loaves. They didn't understand about what Jesus had done. They didn't even really understand what was going on. And they were involved in it. They were part of it. They were, you know, they were the distributors of it all. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to be your earthly king. See, they wanted the same thing the crowds wanted. They wanted to define Jesus. They wanted to define his identity and his role. They wanted to be the ones that said, this is how our Lord is going to act on our behalf. And when he doesn't, it bothered them. You see, when God doesn't show up, or when Jesus doesn't do exactly what I want him to do and how I want him to do it, I can tell you today that it still bothers me. Regardless if I understand, regardless if I know what's going on, Jesus is still asking me to get involved. And where there was 11 left with hard hearts, there was one who left, maybe not understanding, maybe not knowing exactly what was going on, but I'll guarantee you, Peter, because he was willing to get involved in the miracle, when he was willing to take Jesus at his word, not take him at what he could understand, not take him at what he was able to define, but because Peter was willing to take a step in faith, to trust Jesus, I promise you, his heart was less hardened than the others. We can read the account of Peter throughout the rest of Jesus' ministry. And he didn't get it much more than the rest of them. But man, did he try. Did he take Jesus up on his offer? And the question is, will we get involved? In the midst of the wind and the howling rain and the storms and the waves and all of the confusion and the whether we're blown off course or right exactly where we're supposed to be, will we see Jesus? And will we get involved? Will we get outside of the only thing that we know that will save our life? Will we get outside of that boat, that comfort zone that we find ourselves hunkered down in so often, and get involved in the miracle that is the ministry of the gospel? This morning, the invitation is this. See Jesus walking on the water today. Wherever you are, wherever your life has taken you, in wherever you feel God has commanded you to get into this boat and to go wherever He has told you, wherever you are, blown off course or not, will you recognize Jesus coming to get involved in the ministry that you're doing? And will you take Him up on His offer to do something so supernatural that when you explain it to people, they won't understand it either? Will you get involved in the miracle that is the gospel? Whatever your need is, if you need to be prayed with, prayed for, lifted up in prayer by this congregation, if you need to confess Christ and experience the miracle of baptism, the miracle of all of your sins, past, present, and future, being washed away, the miracle of the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in your life, in your physical body, will you let us know as together we stand and as we sing?